Hello and welcome to the Angry Dorks Podcast Monday, whatever day it is, February 4th, 5th, 3rd, 2nd?
It's the 4th.
February 4th. Yep. That's the life we lead when we do stand-up comedy for a living. You don't know what day it is. With me right now, we got Ed Greer.
What is up? It is Ed Greer. How are you?
We are all fantastic. We also have Mandy D.
Hello.
And Matt is downstairs paying for the parking of our fourth guest, Andy Sell. So when they come up, they'll have some illustrious story about how they slayed a dragon to pay for the fucking parking.
It'll be awesome. I actually have, I guess, a semi-rant. I've been watching Arrow. Have you guys watched Arrow? Have you watched Arrow, Mandy?
No, I haven't. Now, I've heard it's good.
Well, have you
watched you, you?
Have you read Green Arrow?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing.
I only read it for Black Canary, though.
Fair enough. And I think they might have just introduced Black Canary.
What?
They're not calling her Black Canary, but there's like a girl who's like, he's starting to have a romantic interest who also is going to be a hero.
Does she wear fishnets and a blonde wig?
Mostly she's wearing leather right now.
Okay, keep me up to date on what happens.
Yeah, I will.
Maybe I'll start watching.
And I just started watching it. So, I mean, I'm only on the 7th or something like that podcast, so... I mean, not podcast.
A podcast.
Yeah.
The Green Arrow podcast.
Yeah, that would be a good podcast.
It's like an old-timey radio show.
Yeah. With knockout arrows, with punching gloves.
Man, I just really... Well, go to your rant.
Okay, well, here's what it is. I'm wondering now if sometimes changing a character is all that bad. Mm-hmm. Because I've really enjoyed this show... for the most part, although the lead actor is a little bit wooden, although I'm wondering if later on that's going to change, you know, like he's getting used to the character, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know how sometimes actors get better at their character,
right.
Like, you know, a year and a half in or whatever. But right now, Green Arrow or Arrow kills fuckers. Straight up kills them. He killed Deadshot with an arrow to the eye.
Wow.
And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, this isn't a spoiler alert, really, unless you've not watched Arrow at all.
Don't watch Arrow at all.
Well,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I've watched...
And now I never will, because I know how Deadshot dies.
Yeah, no.
He gets shot.
But there might
dead.
Be Black Canary.
There might be Black Canary. I don't know if they're going to call her Black Canary. There's some romance girl who's also sort of a vigilante.
They're probably just going to call her Canary.
They straight up kill people. And that's the thing. Green Arrow doesn't kill people. I mean, there's one
but
run...
But if she's Asian, calling her Canary is still racist.
Meh.
What laugh was that? Okay, go.
But so I'm wondering though, because I've enjoyed the show so much, I don't mind the change a little bit. Although I think the lead actor is terrible, but the rest of the guys I actually kind of like. But it's just more along the lines of like I don't know why they're having him kill people. Like, I'm wondering if it's going to be part of the story where, like, he's going to eventually figure out that he doesn't want to do that, that he wants to take these guys down legally or whatever. But it right now, and the story's changed, obviously. The basic origin, they put him on the island. But now his dad went down in the boat with him, and they're in this life raft, and his dad's like,
disgusting.
Yeah, your dad's got to, you've got to right my wrongs. I did horrible things in Star City, and treated people badly, and you've got to right my wrongs. And then so that's what he ends up doing is like righting his dad's wrongs. And he has all this book with all these names of people he has to take out, basically. And the thing is, like, I feel like, and then the other thing they had him do was his dad, like, again, spoiler alert, straight up blew his head off in the raft. And which has nothing to do.
Are you talking about about Arrow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I just watched.
This is my rant. It's like I'm half irritated. I'm half enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I'm on the same page.
Because he kills fuckers and the fight scenes are great. But at the same time, it's not Green Arrow almost at all.
No. How far into it are you?
I'm now on episode 7.
Oh, so you've seen Deathstroke.
I've seen Deathstroke. And I don't know why Deathstroke's in it. I don't know what's going on. I haven't gotten...
Dude, Deathstroke is in it?
Yeah, Deathstroke. Yeah. He looks real cool, too.
He does look
cool.
Badass. He looks badass.
John Barrowman from Doctor Who and Torchwood plays Merlin, right?
Yeah.
Is that a spoiler alert for you? Well, good.
No, his best friend. Not Merlin as in the wizard, but his best
Merlin
friend.
Merlin the archer.
Yeah. Assassin archer.
Although right now, we don't know if he's going to be an assassin archer. Is that correct?
Yeah, we don't know.
He plays his best friend.
I'm on episode 6. So
and then the other thing that's annoying is they keep calling his sister Speedy.
Because she does a lot of crack.
She does a lot of coke. Right. And she runs around.
It was heroin that Speedy did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I know in the comic book.
But she does a lot of coke. Yeah.
She's rich.
That nickname does make a lot more sense with coke than with heroin.
Yeah. It really does, let's be honest.
Well, it's ironic. It's like calling a bald dude Curly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the buff dude Tiny.
Yeah. Right. He was just so speedy, though, that he needed something to slow him down.
So we got Andy Sell and Matt Blackwood here.
Hi, sorry.
How's it going?
I have an eye patch on because I was wondering
about that.
I got infected tear gland. See what my eye looks like right now?
Are you gonna cry blood?
Why did you show it to me?
Yeah.
Like Mikkelsen?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope
I can't remember. Lechifre?
How cool would that be, man? Yeah. But I'm all beat up.
You're wearing a Ron shirt.
Yeah, I look. Oh, yeah. You look like this face.
He looks like my shirt.
He has a Snake from New York.
That is my favorite line of all time in it, by the way, that movie.
Which one?
When they're like, the president's been, his plane went down. President of what?
Yeah. President of my balls. But that was just basically a rant.
Here's the thing.
It's not even a rant as much as just like, I don't know if I... I'm getting confused almost.
No, it is a question, but here's the thing. I said it before, I'll say it again. There's a lot of screenwriter people who are going to just douche up everything. Like Nolan tends to boring up everything.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, there's guys who are going to douche it up a little bit, but the stuff that they add a lot of times is super cool. Yeah. Like the fact that in the comic books now, Batman glides around instead of swinging on a fucking rope like a douche version of Spider-Man. The fact that he does the glider cape now a little bit is cool.
Yeah.
It's an addition to the canon that's cool from some screenwriter fucks, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, and Blade's 100 times better than the movie. The Crow. Crow's 100 times better than James O'Barr's book.
I don't know.
In the movie, dude, until
that movie's pretty badass. Brandon Lee, I just watched
that movie again last night.
Brandon Lee's fucking badass.
Well, I haven't watched it with my now mind, but like back in the days, I thought that was way cool.
I love them. I adore that movie.
Yeah,
I think it's incredible. But I'm still torn between the movie and the comic. I love the comic.
Comic was killer.
Well, that's closer. But the bottom line is, Blade from the comic books is awful. You know what I mean? And the Green Arrow, from my mind, is fucking awful.
Oh man.
There's some Green Arrow I like.
There's some Green Arrow I like, but not all of them.
Look.
Well, yeah, because you're going to get shitty writers.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to adapt it, the first thing that you have to get rid of is the punching. The boxing glove arrows, it's retarded.
Yeah, well, they did that with Hawkeye too. He doesn't, you know, in the movie, he doesn't have any. I mean, he's got James Bond arrows. They're not like trick arrows, they're different types of ammo.
This is a magnesium tipped explosive.
Yeah, in the TV show, they do the same thing.
Although I will say, are you guys reading Hawkeye? Are you guys reading the Fraction Hawkeye?
I have not been able to. I'm downloading it.
It's my favorite Marvel book.
I'm paying to download.
But in one of the issues, Kate Bishop is making fun. Like he's going through all of his old arrows. You know, he's like inventorying his trick arrows, and Kate Bishop's like a boomerang arrow. Please, you know, she's like making fun. And then in the end of the issue, the boomerang arrow ends up saving the day, and he's like, "Yeah, boomerang arrow. It's classic.
It works.
It's classic. It's great.
Like, it does the job."
Yeah. I mean, like stuff like that, I think can be made to be cool. But yeah, I mean, just on the surface, it's pretty. Like a boxing glove arrow is pretty lame.
Yeah,
but I love Green Arrow, and I want to see. And I know I'll never see this. This will never happen ever. But I want to see a movie of the Green Lantern, Green Arrow
run.
The Discovery of America, the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams thing,
where they talk about politics and all that shit, and Green Arrow is trying to get Green Lantern.
Basically,
I'd love to see that. I'd like to see. There's several comic properties that would be great 70s movies. Movies set in the 70s.
Oh my God, Power Man and Iron Fist, number one
with a bullet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Green Arrow, Green Lantern. The Dragon, too, that Misty Knight and Colleen Wing.
Yep.
I'm so bummed that the Joe Carnahan 70s Daredevil didn't happen.
Yeah,
that would have been fantastic.
Yeah, Daredevil makes it like Taxi Driver type cinematography, but some dude doing super sick parkour all over stuff. That's another thing.
Well, and that's the other thing the Green Arrow has is the guys the stunt guy they have him is doing parkour all over the place.
Oh man, the action scenes are incredible.
Yeah, the fight scenes are awesome.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about Buffy today, right?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that's great. It's like it's so refreshing to see that kind of fight scene again, where they take time to choreograph it and it looks cool and they're not just like quick cuts and close-ups and all that shit. They're actually like you're just showing the choreography. It's great.
Well, no, yeah, and that's exactly right. That's the problem with, from my mind, some of the Nolan-y Batman shit. It's just like, wow, you just cut this together.
Yeah.
Christian Bale wasn't even in the room with these dudes.
Yeah, that's like, why even bother to choreograph a cool fight scene if no one's going to see it?
And especially with someone like Batman, whose like main thing that's cool is that he kicks the shit out of people physically.
That was my big problem with Gladiator as well.
Oh yeah,
like Gladiator, action scenes. Like, why have 200 extras wielding swords and all in armor and stuff like that? If you're just gonna have MTV editing where it's like, okay, fight over, and you're like, what?
Well, and the difference between
tiger, like, why bother putting a tiger in there if you're not gonna see it in the frame?
And the best part, that's just like with the first Bourne movie compared to the second Bourne movie. Did you guys watch the Bourne?
Yeah. When Greengrass movie, took over,
I hate it when people get born again.
The first, that first Bourne movie, amazing scenes fight scenes. The chase scenes were killer. And then the second one was like, hey, look, you're in the fight. Shake a camera. Woohoo!
Yeah. Well, I do kind of like this whole, but with Bourne and with the new Bonds, it's almost like if Bond's in a room with you and there's a rolled up magazine, you can jab it in your face with that rolled up magazine. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You know what I mean?
They'll kill someone with whatever's around them. Yeah.
And that's cool. But then, I'll say in Batman Begins, that first fight scene where it's all fluttery and shaky
making
camera,
people disappear and shit.
I thought that was cool because that's Batman's mystery. You're not going to see him doing all kinds of
when he was making dudes disappear, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And that's always been my core of the issue with him before we move on to Buffy.
Is that he doesn't make them permanently disappear.
Which, by the way, Arrow is sort of like doing a Batman. I think that's what they were doing is trying to do Batman, but they can't do Batman.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, he'll disappear and reappear places and just kick the crap of people and disappear.
Yeah, he's a total fucking ninja in that show.
It's pretty badass.
Well, like, street-level heroes have to be that way. That's what's so cool about him. Like, me and Matt Blackwood's obsession with the Punisher. It's just like, the Punisher has to... He's a 55-year-old man. If he's going to take out 100 gangsters, he can't jump in there and whoop everybody's ass. He has to set the house on fire and sit out front with a minigun and blast the fuck out of all the old ladies and people who come out the front.
Yeah.
And it's just you're all day.
Yeah. And do some, I mean, I love it when the Punisher does ninja stuff too. Like, as shitty as that Dolph Lundgren one is,
I enjoyed it.
Like, the opening scene where he's just like taking out those mob guys one by one with like the nooses and shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, like, and like Batman, the thing I had to say is about Batman is this. I hate people who like look at the Nolan movies and they're just like, I don't see anything wrong with how they represent Batman. Batman just wades into rooms full of dudes and they can all see him in a whole big shot from head to toe. It's like, as soon as Batman gets seen head to toe, he dies.
Yeah.
That's what's in Batman's head. Yeah. So, like, why would you ever just wade up into a bunch of fucking guys?
Why would you go train to be a ninja who can disappear into the shadows and then not disappear into the shadows?
Right.
I don't even want to really get into Dark Knight Rises, but God, I hate that fucking movie.
It's so much daylight.
And that's part. I don't understand. Like, didn't Bane have a sniper with a 50 cal?
Yeah, you think?
Just perch him up there, and when Batman comes out into the daylight, blast his head off. Like,
right.
And why are all these thugs with machine guns fist fighting cops? It's just
why didn't they just blow them away?
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, I mean, it turned into West Side Story.
It's West Side Story.
There should have been some snapping
with shittier costumes and no music.
We're going to fight. We're going to fight the Joker. We're going to fight. Bang.
I don't know. The city had been cut off for a while. Maybe they had done all their threatening shots into the air and wasted too much ammo.
That's a fine point, Mandy.
There were too many there were too many birthday parties where they had to fire their machine guns in the air.
All right, so let's get to the meat of this fantastic podcast. We've got everybody here. We're all ready.
Look, if you all have a birthday on the same weekend, we have to celebrate them all in one party. We're not stealing four cakes.
Oh, what a beautiful cake.
That would be awesome. So let's talk about it. Buffy. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sorry,
Woo.
Ed.
No, I don't hate Buffy.
Did you watch any?
You like Buffy?
No, I got into it way late. Well, no, I can't say I got into it. I'm not even going to act like I'm into it. But here's the thing. I get it. I get the difference between the movie and the show. Like the movie, of course, was like a camp romp, you know what I'm saying? And then like they did kind of a Green Arrow version of it for the TV. Yeah. You know, there was all this, the angel dude, he's just like, oh, I'm a bad guy, but your love will redeem me, your vagina will save me.
Well, basically, well, he's actually
cursed.
The
vagina
cursed.
Made him evil.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, love made him evil. Because he's cursed to never be able to love.
Never being, it wasn't just pussy. It was
it was loving pussy. He can bang anything he wants as long as he doesn't love it.
But it's like classic, you know, you can't
don't
have
find
it.
That out now, for years, though.
Now, the science of that, though, is kind of shaky because, like, you know, there's been studies that prove that, you know, the same kind of love, you know, you feel, you get the same chemical reaction in your brain from certain types of food or certain types of other things. Like, what if you just had a really bomb-ass candy bar one day?
This is so delicious.
when you sneeze, you have like a fourth of an orgasm. So if you just got into some cayenne, like you just got, oh God, I'm evil.
I don't think ancient gypsy curses are that concerned with the science of candy bars.
Well,
sneezes.
Magic is just science we don't know yet. Okay, I'm not shut up. I'm not going to ever
go fuck yourself.
I'm not going to say anything that douchey again. I promise.
I mean, I loved Buffy. You know what the funny thing is? I mean, as much as you love Buffy the Vampire Slayer herself, I was all about the other characters.
Well, she was the weak. I think she was the weakest. Well, for one, I think she was the weakest actor on the show.
Yeah.
And for two, I think that she, in a lot of times, was the weakest character. What made that show so interesting was the group dynamic and all the other characters that were so rich.
Yeah, my lady.
To be fair to her, she was like by far the youngest, right? Like
she was all the, much, much younger.
All the other high schoolers were like 25. Yeah. And she was like actually 16 when she started.
I think
show.
There was a couple of them who had hit 30 before
the
Nicholas
show. Nicholas Brendan, I think, was 40 when they started.
Cordelia, she was Charisma older Carpenter, was at least 30. I think she was 31.
Oh, yeah.
She looks fantastic.
I would make out with her.
For being 83 years old. Yeah. She's got a Helen Mirren thing going.
Nice. The Crypt Keeper's got some nice tits, guys.
the thing about it, from a distance. All right, well, let's deal with
from
this Buffy.
From a distance.
Let's deal with this Buffy thing real quick. Okay, I always felt that way. It was always, oh, Xander's the best character. No, you know what? I think Oz is the best character.
Maybe Willow's the best character.
Spike is the best character. Oh, no, Willow.
Andrew's the best character.
And you're always like going to all those different ones. And I think I've said this before on the podcast that like as I get older, like the older I get, the more I identify with Buffy more than anybody else. Like if you've had your friends, if you've had to like... DD for your friends a few times, like especially like if you have like fucking let's be fair here, fucking comedians,
yes,
oh god, right?
Have to drive around drunk comedians. I mean, yeah,
how many times have you ever had to deal with these people? And then the more you do that, the more you go, you know what, I feel like I might be the put upon chosen one.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I guess in that situation, I don't know because I'm just always Xander there.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, when I run the mic, you know, that's my Buffy time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, when you're the responsible person, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. She has a really shitty time of it, and she still makes quips and does the thing and gets through it every day. And it's like she is the one that we need to look up to in the end.
In that way, she's a lot like she's got a Superman thing going on, you know. Just in that whole thing of like, she could blow this off.
Right. You know? But
she could use these secret gifts for evil.
But she doesn't have the weakness of Superman, which is, you know, kryptonite and mind control and
magic, and
a villain that can actually beat her.
Yeah, well.
You know, like she has like every villain can beat her.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
And that's what makes it so great.
Right. She's going out every night, and every one of those vampires is not equal to her, but still pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Like a cop. Like, a cop is better trained than most criminals he faces. Mm. Yeah. But any one of those criminals any fucking day can pull the trigger at the right second and take him out.
Well,
and that's what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she could be killed by any vampire. She does pretty good against your lackeys, vampires.
Most of the time, but there's that season 5
episode.
She's
like a level 34, and they're like, you know, level 6. Like,
right, but that's when they deal with that in that season 5 episode where a vampire gets a lucky blow against her and stakes her with her own stake in the gut.
and she almost fucking dies. Yeah. And it's a normal vampire. And she's like, what the hell? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's how almost all of you die. Like, not from the big, like...
just some random vampire.
Yeah, she goes and like looks at the history of it. It's like, yeah, because you fight a random vampire every single day. Like, that's
and all it takes is one mistake.
All it takes is one. And well, right, and what, so she talks to physics, Spike about, like...
What are the physics of the vampires in Buffy? Like, I've seen a couple episodes and stuff, but I still don't get it. Like, what can they do and what can't they do?
Well, they're stronger, they can jump higher, they're faster.
Yeah, right. They all know kung fu.
So they are superhuman, and they make jokes about that. Like, because basically, to have a good fight, you know, like they choreograph it, they basically have them, you know...
The ones that can't fight, those are the ones she stakes in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I guess
but most of them.
An inordinate number of them can fight pretty well, just because it's the needs of a show that has action fighting.
Well, here's something I've thought about.
I mean, the fact that they hang a lantern on things like that, like she's fighting this vampire one time, and she's like, look, this is how this is going to end. I'm going to kill you. I'm the Slayer. It's what I do. And he's like, I don't know. Got all this undead strength. Plus, I took like 3 years of Taekwondo like right before I died. So
That's right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's a good line.
I always, something I was thinking about was like, with vampires, you'd think if they lived long enough, I mean, if these are newly risen vampires, obviously, you know, they haven't lived that long. Uh-huh. But if you're talking your 50 or 60 years or even 100 or 200 years, there's a chance that they've studied martial arts for 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know if any of you guys have taken martial arts or ever sparred with somebody or anything like that. I'm a pretty good martial artist. And the guy I got taught from, he can catch my fist out of the air. He's slower than me. He's older than me. He's way stronger than me, but he's slower than me. He just is like, I just know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if a guy studied martial arts for 100 years, I don't care what...
You're telegraphing your hits, man.
He would know everything you were doing and just destroy you on top of having super speed and on top of...
He'd probably just attack you from the right.
Yeah, right now he would.
That's an eye patch joke on fucking radio, dude.
You got a camera?
Okay. But here's the thing about kung fu fighting, though. First of all, you got to get trained. Yeah. Okay, I don't give a shit if you sit down for 100 years with a Jeet Kune Do book and a bunch of drawings. You're not going to learn how to do kung fu. You got to go to class.
Yep.
And who the fuck teaches karate class at night, really?
Or you know what I mean? Like, or to a guy who wants to eat them.
Just go turn some kung fu guy into a vampire.
Yeah, and then kick your fucking ass for making him a vampire.
You go find kung fu schools in like Iceland and Scandinavia,
but you gotta put a bunch
Alaska.
Of dirt in your casket type thing, get shipped over there, get a familiar to guard your body during the day.
Oh my God, immortality is such a chore.
It's just logistics, baby. The logistics of being a vampire, think about it. You'd have to be independently wealthy to be a fucking vampire.
Yeah, and then also, when are you gonna play video games?
Or live in the sewer,
a gang of vampires.
Occasionally you see a vampire like in a nice mansion or something like that. But most of the time, they're living in rundown shacks. Yeah. They live in like foreclosed homes and things like that. Like they live places where fucking hobos live.
You mean there's some vampires?
They dress in like.
And I tell you, I would take night classes immediately if I was a vampire. On business class, you know, take some business classes, start a business. I don't know, something to do with blood. I guess
online now.
Yeah. I mean, serious.
A vampire with a University of Phoenix degree.
Yeah, as a vampire, you could learn TV VCR repair.
Vampire who went to IT
manufacturing.
Tech.
Now, do you guys, does anyone have like a favorite Buffy, like a favorite episode?
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite?
That's tough.
It's a really tough one, but I always have to come back to the body.
Mm. Which one's the body? Remind me.
The body is the one.
I don't know all the names of them.
The body is the one where.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
If you haven't watched Buffy, you're an asshole.
It's a pretty big spoiler. Buffy's mom dies.
Okay.
She doesn't get murdered by a beast or whatever. Like, she gets sick. And she dies.
I remember that.
And the whole episode is just, it starts with her discovering the body and then calling the ambulance and everything. And they capture the physicality of it well.
God. That is a really good one.
They capture the immediacy of this is exactly what happens in those 6 to
12 hours after this person dies, waiting for the ambulance to come, and you're sitting there with this dead body. Yeah. And then being in the hospital and knowing that the dead body is, like, this far down the hallway, you know? And everybody else, you know, who are the friends whose best friend in the world just lost her mom are all standing around. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I don't know what to do for her. I don't know what to do for me.
It has nothing to do really with vampires or monsters at all. It's all about that. And it really captures that sick emptiness that you feel in the wake of something like that.
It's the best portrayal of dealing with death, of the death of a loved one in TV or movies ever.
I wouldn't argue with that. It's pretty amazing.
I would say it's up there. I don't know if I would say it's the best ever.
Except for the Expendables.
Jesus Christ. Well, Expendables obviously deals with that. Fuck it. Move on.
But
Terry Crews cries every time he chops a guy in half with
that. When he's like, never mind. But it has one of my favorite lines in it. In anything ever, in any medium, in any format, one of my favorite lines, when Anya is freaking out because she doesn't understand death. She doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
She's never had to deal with it. And when she has that, what is it she says? She says, she'll never brush her hair again.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is stupid. It's stupid. Death is stupid. And no one will tell me why. No one has an answer why. Like it just captures that, like, innocent reaction to losing a loved one so well.
I gotta check that out.
That's a good one. It's devastating. Every time I see it, I bawl.
Start from, I would say, season one finale. If we really want to get him into the show, I would say season one finale and then just go on from there. Just
unless
hit the ground
really
running
into
there.
Monster of the Week type stuff, then season one's okay.
I enjoy some of season one.
Yeah.
A lot.
She fight
like the puppet show. The puppet show is like one of the best episodes
of the show.
That's
the one where they're quiet, right?
It's so good.
Which one?
No. That's Hush, probably my favorite.
That's such a great episode.
That thing scared the shit out of me. I'm getting tingles right now thinking about that episode.
Those creepy fucking monsters.
Real quick, if you are like Ed.
And then the musical, by the way.
Totally awesome.
If you are like Ed and you have never seen Buffy and it looks stupid to you, the whole thing is, yes, it looks stupid from a distance. We've talked about this on our podcast a couple times. on our Buffy episode, on our RoboCop episode, like it's a thing that, you know what? Sometimes people have ideas and they seem very strange from a distance. Superman, if you didn't grow up with it, probably seemed really fucking weird. When you've got like these two old guys, you know, in your office going like, okay, and he wears a cape and he can jump really high. You know, it probably seemed ridiculous. But the point is, sometimes things click into place and it's the execution. Oh, it's the execution that nails it. And Buffy is the best executed television show that's ever been on TV.
Every single episode.
Yeah.
I watched every episode and I remember feeling something or laughing or enjoying some part of every single episode I watched.
Right. Absolutely. Even if there are things that you have misgivings about, like the way they hit everything, the jokes that they make about stuff, like
that's
Joss Whedon's ability to make everyone feel like they're in danger all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to kill fuckers.
I just realized what my favorite episode is.
Oh, cool.
The Xander one.
Oh, the Zeppo. So there's basically a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern episode where it just follows Xander, the side character.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like, obviously, it'll cut to, like, the B story, like, just, they just slayed a giant monster. We're gonna cut to that for 2 seconds and back to Xander. He's joining the zombie guy.
Whenever they cut to them, they're being super serious and this could be the last time I see you, whatever. And it's making fun of the melodrama that's inherent in the show. Yeah. And then it cuts back to the Xander story, which is just hilarious and amazing.
Yeah, that was a great episode. That is a fantastic episode.
I also
like the Halloween one where Xander gets to be a badass because he's...
Oh, where he gets the army costume.
and becomes a badass and is like saving everybody's ass.
Yeah, well, and then Buffy's wearing a princess costume, so she's absolutely useless in that episode.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
You know, if she had been dressed as Mulan, she would not have been useless.
Yeah, she
would
have been pretty badass.
The only Disney princess worthwhile. Pocahontas, because she like can hunt.
Be a man.
And talk to animals or something. I'm not really sure what her superpowers are.
Yeah.
Pirate Ron likes to sing a lot.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I feel like
Ron of Penzance.
Like, I am a Xander. I'm not a Buffy. I'm not a Will. I don't have magic. I don't have superpowers. I'm like the person in the background going, okay, well, you guys seem like you have this, so I'm going to go not die over here. Do you need research? I can look in a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's so relatable as, like, just...
And he does have the most honest... And he also, his bad luck with women.
Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
That is hilarious.
Every woman he ends up dating tries to kill him.
Or dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he gets to bang some really hot girls before they try to kill him.
We got a sound thing with this Buffy.
Why can't you just masturbate like the rest of us?
Yeah. He found a Buffy soundboard?
Yeah. We just have a couple of little things that our good friend Rich Slayton put together for us.
Oh, Rich.
I have to say, though, the music in both the musical and in Hush and in Restless, where they're all dreaming, I play that all the time while I'm writing.
The dream episode.
There's
so many good episodes.
The music brilliant.
When she's in the desert, it's one of the best, is one of my favorite things to write to.
The episode is so bright because it's after... What should be the finale?
Right. The big action set piece thing for the second to last episode of the season. The finale of season four, it's, they're all resting.
We're going to go home after and that. Sleep.
Yeah, they're sleeping it off, and it's in their dreams. Something is trying to kill them in their dreams. Fucking awesome.
Because they did that big spell where they had their combined their souls for
that big magic thing that they did to win the day. Yeah. They're paying the price for it, which is they woke this thing up. And now it's trying to kill them.
What's funny, such
a good episode. Too.
Is it, in that episode too, they really hit home of why Xander's important. Not in the dream episode, but the one before when they all come together, they kind of like, if I'm remembering correctly, that's sort of the episode where it's like, no, Xander is really like, yeah,
he's
sure,
an important part.
He can't fight. He doesn't do magic. He doesn't have any superpowers. He's not even really that smart. But like. Him, he's the glue. Like him being there for them,
and being a consistent
moral support is the most important thing.
Being a consistent like friend and source of person who doesn't give up despite the
also,
odds.
Someone needs to watch Dawn when things are,
yeah, obviously.
Like he babysits
because who knows
so
what Dawn's gonna do.
Dawn is a bad decision machine.
Yeah, she's like lies. In Three's Company for Buffy. Like, she's the one who just made bad shit happen consistently.
You know what it reminds me of?
Always. Like, it's Tuesday.
It reminds me of in The Walking Dead where no one is ever watching Carl.
They're the worst fucking parents on that
show. Like, you have two children. Can you, like, actually, you know, like, how can you not keep track
and
of...
And for all you know, they could be the last children on Earth.
Yeah. What else are you doing that's so important that you can't keep, like, half an eye? One person of your 10-person group can't watch that child.
You're spending most of your time watching them and the rest of the time making new babies.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have a flash forward.
Why isn't everybody on that show just fucking all the time?
I know, I would be.
That's what I was going to say. They do the flash forward to Carl trying to find somebody to fuck after they're all dead.
Yeah.
And he's like 11, by the way, because they're not long for the world. They're all dying. And Carl's just going to be like, man, who am I going to fuck, bro?
Who am I going to fuck, bro? This is
I want that to be the line. I want that to be the final line of that series. I want the series to end with Carl going, who am I going to fuck, bro?
It's just the fade to black. The poster for season 9, it's just Carl standing there silhouetted. On the road, you know, with the gun down or whatever. Just the words written in blood. Who am I going to fuck, bro?
He's dragging a deflated blow-up doll. Like an apocalypse blow-up doll. He's got an eye patch.
You just have to press it on one side so it'll inflate where you need it.
So here's a question. Here's the thing. This is something I was thinking about with Buffy. Do you think that the sympathetic vampires in Buffy, that being Spike and Angel... possibly sparked evil into our world. That being Twilight.
What are you talking about?
He's saying no.
No. Because that's sort of...
Because they were anomalies.
Nah, I don't...
Good writing doesn't inspire bad writing.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Bad writing.
No.
No.
Good writing inspires people to write.
She was going to write stories. Have you read?
I'm saying she was going to write bullshit no matter what. It wasn't Buffy that caused her to write bullshit. She was. It may have inspired her to include.
But caused her to write bullshit.
Sympathetic vampires, though.
It may have inspired her to include vampires in her stupid anti-feminist bullshit.
Well, she obviously didn't know what vampires were. When she wrote that.
Yeah, so obviously she wasn't inspired by Buffy. That's a fair point.
I honestly don't think that she originally wrote them as vampires. She originally wrote them as like elves or something. Because like,
and then she's like, I think vampires are popular. Let's do this.
Like, come on.
Makes a lot of sense that she like shoehorned the vampire thing in.
Yeah, that does make sense.
I think that there was something else, and then she just was like,
she created a new thing, and she was like, I call them Fyrons or whatever, and the
Jesus
like,
fucking
the
Christ.
Publisher was like, yeah, we're gonna call them vampires.
Yeah, I'm glad she has a black editor in chief. What the fuck?
Nah, shit, motherfucker. We're gonna call them vampires.
Was he like, sweet Christmas, this is gonna make some money.
Sweet Christmas, this is gonna make so much money.
Vampires.
Yeah, it's like, hey, mama,
we gonna be sparkling all the way.
Hey, mama, bitch. Get your shit together.
Hey, mama, bitch. Shut the fuck up. Sit down. I got something to tell you. Right,
you know, Luke Cage would get into publishing if it made him.
Hey, he's an editor for hire.
we made some serious bank. Now who am I going to fuck, bro?
Hey, bitch, you need to be more relatable.
My God, I love
I'm trying to think if there were...
Team Jacob like a mother.
I'm trying to think of sympathetic vampires before Buffy.
That's what I'm saying. Some. There's not many.
Well, Coppola's version of Dracula.
And, well, I mean,
Stoker's
Dracula.
I completely forgot about that.
It's very romantic.
Yeah, but they still want to eat fuckers.
But
yeah.
So do the vampires in her thing. Like, she just has like, oh, well, this little group of them, they don't do it because they're vegetarian.
But that's what I'm talking about is, and
but
I don't think vampires are like that. I think
they're like, I'm going to eat that chick. I don't care who she is.
They're goddamn maniacs who eat. That's like, you know what I mean? It's like.
But yeah, Anne Rice did do all that shit way before. She was an actual good writer. Have whatever opinion about the books, about the things that happened in those. But I mean, like, you know, she could write.
Yeah.
And she wrote a bunch of books.
But I also think
books where different stuff happened.
I think
where
some negative happened. Things came
stuff
out of Buffy
happened.
Is what I'm saying.
I agree. No, I'll agree with like, that. Like, I mean, I think there's something to be said for the fact that these were relatable vampires.
Buffy was Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and Pearl Jam to Creed. You see what I'm saying?
Buffy,
to Twilight's Creed.
Yeah.
Buffy inspired
Twilight's
Bella,
Nickelback.
Yeah, exactly.
Stephanie Meyer missed the point.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
But at the same time...
I feel like Stephanie Meyer has missed the point with a lot of things.
Yeah, me too.
She
called herself the god of writing, apparently. There's like a quote where she's like, God put me on earth to teach people... what good writing
that
is.
That bitch doesn't know what a moat is.
I don't know if that's a real quote from her, but someone said that that's a quote from her. And then apparently J.K. Rowling just laughed.
What were you going to say, Mandy?
Oh, I was just saying, like, if she looked at Buffy and said, that chick, like, kicks ass, takes care of everything, and, you know, has useful friends who care about her, then... My inspiration for that, I'm going to create this girl who just sits around waiting for some guy to come be her boyfriend because she can't have a life.
Bella, let me say this, though. I agree with that.
I 100% agree with that. But I think that you don't look, and this is not to be offensive towards you or anything, Mandy. You're not a regular girl. Regular girls don't look.
I think it's already offensive.
Yeah, I'm offended.
You're not a regular girl.
Well, because
you're irregular.
You're uniquely. You have a unique perspective.
By the way, you pay
attention to things and you actually care about stuff like that. But I'll give you an example. One of my favorite shows is Supernatural.
Ron Swallow, feminist, ladies and gentlemen.
One of my favorite shows.
Bitches be dumb, but you.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true. But a lot of girls, wouldn't look at
keep doing what you
how
doing,
cool
girl.
Buffy is. Some of them would, obviously.
Yeah.
What they would look at is how romantic and hot all the vampire dudes are. Especially you're a teenager at the time that Buffy came out. Especially then.
Well,
and here's the thing.
But I don't necessarily agree with that because I think that that from Buffy they would gather some empowerment, but from Twilight they would only gather the, oh, these boys are hot.
Yes.
Because there's nothing else there.
But that's what I'm saying is that's what she decided to do with that.
Exactly.
And people have decided to do that because of...
I have to completely disagree. That's like blaming video games for people shooting up a school.
No, it's not. I don't think it's like that at all.
She was an idiot and an anti-feminist before. Buffy didn't turn her into an idiot.
Well, I'm not saying Buffy
is anti-feminist.
Yeah. I'm not saying Buffy turned her into it. I'm saying that that influenced a culture.
You can't blame good art for bad art.
It's not
people
about
are going to find something.
I actually can.
People are going to find something to make bad art of. Yeah, it's not going to.
But you know what? You know what? I totally agree with that point. But the point is this:
what's in green lighting?
the green lighting of bad art is because good art succeeded. There's a reason why fucking Teen Wolf got rebooted now. Is it because of Team Jacob?
Am I the only one that kind of digs that show?
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't, matter if it's good or not.
I've only seen
it doesn't matter if it's good or not. The fact that it exists is because of Team Jacob. That you could trace the lineage right back, bro.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, when Buffy makes vampires hot for a second, you know what I'm saying? It makes them capable. It makes them people, for lack of a better word. Then when Homegirl sees it, she goes, you know what's broken about this show? This bitch is too empowered. Bitches can't relate to this shit. This is like the niggas watching the Cosby Show. We can't relate to this shit.
She uses the N-word in her brain, too.
she does. But it's just one of those things where it's like, a lot of black people balked at the Cosby Show because supposedly they didn't know Negroes like that. But people don't understand that it's cultural. And back in my family, supposedly, there's been dudes in college since the 1890s. So fuck with that. But you know what I mean? But some inner city youth, oh, I can't do nothing but play basketball. I can't even relate to that motherfucker. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, she did what she could do to dumb it down. And guess what? Chicks bought it
a whole bunch of them bought it. Point this out to you immediately. In music, bad music comes directly from good music. And I'll tell you why that happens.
I disagree with that as well.
You're wrong, and I'll tell you why.
You're wrong.
Because what happens is you have this great new style of music come out, and people are like, wow, there's this new great style of music. And then someone says, hey, let's make another version of that music that's very similar, but a little bit simpler. And we just throw these dudes together really quick and put them out there.
That's the Zack Snyders of the world. That's the people who only take the aesthetic from something and they
don't take it all the time.
Yeah. But I think that happens
with TV.
That has nothing to do with good art. Because as Ed said,
All of those shows
were greenlit because of the success of Twilight. And Twilight, so Twilight became much more influential, and it wasn't good.
No, true. But that's the thing.
It's about success. There are always going to be people chasing success and greenlighting a bunch of bullshit because something else was successful.
True. However,
Buffy
I will
wasn't
also
even
say
that successful for a television show.
Well,
I
had
like this argument.
It wasn't that successful. That's why I did that.
It was on the bubble for like four of its seven years.
Yeah, it got canceled at least once and bought by another.
Right, it got canceled after season five or during season five, whatever, and then got bought again by another network. So,
but dude, I'm telling you, watch a movie. A show's going to come out. Watch, it's going to be about this ship, right? And there's people on the ship, and they're blue coats, right? They're blue coats.
Oh god!
And the blue coats are getting chased by these dudes with a sonic weapon. And there's a little boy on board who does kung fu.
Are you pitching that show to us right now?
That show will do better than Firefly because it'll have a boy.
If they put Luke Cage on that show, I will watch the shit out of it.
A show just like fucking Firefly, but with a boy instead of a girl, with a fucking badass instead of the doctor character, with the Nate Fillion being a hot bitch with her tits out all the time. Will succeed more.
I think you're describing Lex.
Dude, exactly. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like when you modify shit just a little bit and make that stuff just a little bit more cliche, you will always win.
However, I will also say that some great stuff has come out of Buffy. I mean, obviously, Angel.
Oh, yeah, I know about what cousin.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Was that a squirter joke?
Hot vaginas. Hot vaginas.
Buffy's a squirter, guys.
Yeah. But also, I mean, like, my favorite show right now is Supernatural. And Supernatural, I will guarantee you it would not exist if it hadn't been for Buffy.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Agree.
And there's other shows similar to Supernatural. I think you could even argue Fringe, Eureka. A lot of those, even though they're sci-fi and not like vampire fantasy.
X-Files, but
yeah, I guess that's true too. But even X-Files might even be, I guess they were around the same time though. But
X-Files
and Buffy were around the same
time. Right?
X-Files was like 4 years, I think, before Buffy, maybe.
Something like that.
I want to say X-Files started in 93. Buffy started in 97.
X-Files, something like that, yeah. X-Files started in 92.
Sorry, no. I believe.
It started the year.
I take it back. Buffy started, it was like 96 to 2003, I think.
Yeah, because I think it was out of high school when Buffy started.
Yeah, Buffy started when I was in high school. Late. It was like my junior year, I think, is when it started.
I'm old.
Are you older than me?
Yeah, I'm 36.
I think Buffy started. Okay. I was still in elementary school.
Mandy's young.
Yeah.
So okay, Matt Blackwood does it.
I was a junior in high school when Buffy started.
What great things have come out of Buffy?
The Avengers. The movie The Avengers.
Sweden. Yeah.
I think every writer that came from that room was made just a ton better.
Yeah, probably.
They were all good. But I think that they were made a ton better. That doesn't mean that everything they've done has been perfect.
Yeah.
But remake.
What's her name, Jan?
Runaways.
Marty Noxon is
here. Marty Noxon.
Runaways is so good.
The Fright Night.
Not Joss Whedon's.
Yeah, Joss Whedon's Runaways is terrible.
It wouldn't hurt so much if I didn't love it so much.
The Fright Night remake was fine. It was pointless to do it.
I thought there were some things cool about it, but
it was fine, just pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, Colin Farrell,
speaking of remakes, they're still not talking about remaking Buffy, right?
Yeah, they have been for a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is that still...
I've heard it's still on, like, the table, but I think they'd be hard-pressed to get Joss to let them...
It just... To me, that
seems
like... Because
I think he has intellectual something or other control over that.
To me, that seems like, let's do another Mona Lisa. It doesn't seem like the comics are great.
That's what I was going to bring up next.
Another picture of that same chick. It sounds like no. Let's do another Mona Lisa because people love the Mona Lisa.
Yeah,
but instead of can we make her a redhead in this one and
bigger tits? Yeah. Bigger tits.
We got to have bigger tits.
Just have an old.
I don't know how you're going to have too much bigger tits than Sarah Michelle.
Can she sparkle?
No, just have an old Sarah Michelle Gellar, like old as in like 20, I guess. If I could have her fucking train some new bitch, and there you go, David Hasselhoff.
Hands who's the off Mona Lisa gonna fuck, bro?
Who's the Mona Lisa gonna
fuck?
Well,
they almost, when Buffy ended, they almost did a Faith spinoff, but Eliza Dushku decided she had better things to do. And then
wrong
I guess
turn, guys.
Didn't.
And then she had to do wrong turn.
And then did Dollhouse.
I love that was both
so
big.
She was successful on her own and then decided, I didn't do this Faith thing, so I'm going to do this thing that would pretty much almost be a Faith spinoff.
Yeah.
Was that the thing where she saw dead people and stuff?
No.
Dollhouse?
Right. That was True Calling, which also was not successful.
I was like, no, I'm pretty sure she didn't see that in Dollhouse.
And that's not even her, dude. Yeah. That's the other one, right?
What are you talking about, other one?
The other one with the big boobs. Not Elizabeth. No,
that's Ghost Jennifer Whisperer. Love Hewitt, Ghost Whisperer, I think.
Oh, yes, yeah. There were two shows about brunette chick talking
which
to...
Which is the blonde chick who talks to dead people.
Ghost right. Whisperers. I actually enjoyed Ghost Whisperer. I'm not going to lie to you. Those titties.
I enjoy Jennifer Love Hewitt. So.
I think that's probably what I really enjoy. I don't really...
Whatever. You real Playboy for articles-ass motherfucker.
We all watched Party of Five while having a party of one.
Pants party.
Does she even really need to do anything in that show, or can she just like show up and be like, here they are?
I'm cool with that.
They should just have it put a show on the CW that's called Jennifer Love Hewitt standing in front of a fan.
Does everybody
slowly turns?
Well, and have you guys seen Vampire Diaries at all?
No, I don't give a fuck.
It's terrible.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch the
It's not as terrible as like
was.
A lot of the other stuff. I mean, I can almost ignore it. Like, Like, it's my girlfriend and her best friend watch it, and it doesn't, like, it doesn't make me want to kill anybody. Like, it's so bad. You know what I mean? It's not that bad, but it's sort of like, it's just like, to me, it's like, man, what's the point of this?
Yeah, that's almost worse, I think.
I haven't seen it, but I do know that the process behind that is the same as that of Pretty Little Liars, which is that they are made as books and television shows at the same time, and they're made very mercenary. Basically, they're going like, what can we put together to capture this market? They're basically made exactly the same way that Garfield was made. They're like, hey, little girls like this, 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 and this, and they're going to watch the shit out of this fucking show.
And Lorenzo's music's dead. Lorenzo's music is dead. Let's get Bill Murray.
Well, and Supernatural, by the way, has a huge female fan base, if you weren't aware.
Well, I mean, but you know what? Yeah, you really can't blame that stuff, because it's just like, I saw the promo.
But it's a good show.
I saw the Super Bowl promo for Two Broke Girls and thought about DVR and that shit.
What?
You know what I mean? Dude, homegirls' tits are fucking nuts.
Jesus Christ. They're amazing.
Dude, homegirls' tits are nuts.
I know, when we were watching the Super Bowl, me and Ed were just like,
just
what?
Rewatch Thor.
So what you're saying is,
Thor. You can see
can
them
talk
in Thor.
To ghosts.
What? Can that Kat Dennis bitch is in Thor? Oh, wait. Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's in Thor.
She's not even throwing her tits, though. She's trying to look all smart and shit. Get out of here.
No, because Natalie Portman has to be the pretty one, even though Kat Dennis is obviously prettier.
Way
I don't know. Kat Dennis' tits are all over that movie, though.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I would have sex with either one of them.
Well, yeah, of course. That, well,
yeah, welcome to being a person.
Yeah, but with Natalie Portman, you have to be
finally
ready for that
here.
Insane sex, because she's a crazy person.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you got to get ready for that black swan.
Mandy would fuck either of them.
I don't get you that would fuck either of them. Yeah. Like, it's, come on.
Right.
That's a good point. Good point.
Go out on a limb, Swallow. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, you'll watch anything for, like, hot chicks. Like, I thought about starting to watch that show. I am a smart person. I thought about starting to watch that show so I could look at that bitch. So I can understand, like, some regular-ass teenage girl looking at some hot dudes while they're doing magic. Hello?
Yeah.
That's
killing bad guys.
I don't know if you guys have seen White Collar, but Matt Bomer is so good-looking that, like, I'm pretty sure that's the only reason that that show exists.
Oh, my God, I watched that show. I don't even know what it's about.
It's a 40-minute excuse
to get that guy shirtless.
It's
one of those shows on USA we were talking about.
Well, right? And actually,
it's one of those USA shows that
nobody fucking watches.
Which does bring us back to Arrow.
But last
that
for
dude
nine
is,
years.
Has
that
his shirt so off hot. Quite often, and he is ripped like a motherfucker.
He is.
He also played Jeffrey Dahmer, though, so I don't know.
Well,
that just shows
does everybody have
we've all played Jeffrey Dahmer, right? what are you guys looking at me for?
That's my favorite game to play as a kid.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Not Cowboys and Indians. It was Jeffrey Dahmer and Victims.
Nice. That's it. Okay, now you come over to my house, okay? Then we'll listen to my albums, okay? Then I'll put this in your drink, and then I'll hump on your butt, okay? And then I'll whip out my plastic knife,
and then I'll chop
your arms off, okay? So you gotta put your arm behind your back, and I chopped off your arm.
Oh my god. The floor is lava.
How do I win this game?
I'll throw the floor is lava.
Does everybody have
the thing about. Okay. I'm going to say right now, while we got a minute, my favorite episode of Buffy is the season 5 finale, because I feel like it's just the perfect, it's the epitome of what a Buffy episode is. It's got everything. It's the final episode. It's called The Gift. It's the it's where she fights Glory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got the action. Yeah. It's got the heart. It's got the sad moments. It's got the everything.
It's
everything.
I love
the episode before that too, where they're on the run in the Winnebago.
Exactly.
That is so good.
Everything in that season comes up, basically. Mm-hmm. Even the ridiculous Anya troll god episode thing comes up, because she ends up using that hammer to beat ass.
Yeah.
Like, it's so perfectly, it's the most probably comic booky episode, but like, it pulls in everything from the series up to now, because it was supposed to be the series finale.
Yeah.
Well, that show had everything. I mean, it had westerns, it had chop sake, it had fucking, like,
it was all
any kind of sci-fi.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. In conclusion, I think we can all agree.
That episode had
Buffy was.
There were knights in that episode. There were friggin' knights in that episode.
It was amazing. Buffy was the more positive. It was definitely more positive than negative. I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah.
That it created more goodness than badness.
I don't know how you can call it negative. Like, I seriously don't.
That's because you have a strange outlook where you believe somehow that positivity will create other positivity, when in the real world that never, ever happens.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
Speaking of negativity, does everybody here have a favorite big bad from the show?
Oh, I still like the musical demon guy.
Yeah?
Yep, I'm still going to enjoy him.
I always enjoyed Mr. Trick.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Trick.
The swords, whatever. Motherfucker should have
I'm going to go with when
right
Harmony
now.
Decided yeah. she was going to try her hand at evil.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And it's just so freaking adorable.
Mine is the three. I like the three.
Hey, thanks, Ed, for hanging out with us.
Hey, I'm drawing pictures of Batgirl. And I had a good time. I got some good shit off. That thing about, you know, who I'm going to fuck, bro. That's pretty good.
That was awesome. That was actually great.
Seriously, though, watch the show. Give it a good watch. It's on Netflix Instant. It's so good. You're going to be surprised.
The fact that it's feminist, I like that.
And there are boobs. Yeah.
Okay.
At Greer Destroys.
At Greer Destroys.
At Dorky Swallow. We actually have an Angry Dorks one now.
At Andy _ Sell.
And at Matt Blackwood. And check out our podcast, What Were We Talking About?
And Angry Dorks
Twitter.
Every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Yay. Good night, guys.
Yay, Buffy.
And why strictly not by my side? You won't believe your eyes. Watch the X-ray rise.
Yoda, why you being a player hater? You love it.